Brother Jerry. And that's the posture we all should have, surrendering, yielding everything to Christ. Well, I'm in Galatians tonight. If you want to take your Bibles and turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, and I want to talk to you about sharing burdens, being gracious burden bearers. There's no such thing as the trouble-free life. Don't you wish there was? I wish that we were living a life free from trouble, but Jesus actually didn't come to give us a life free from trouble here on earth. He came to give us a free life in the midst of troubles, that our troubles would not overwhelm us, but that we would find victory in the midst of our troubles. We live in a fallen world, right? And you look all around, the troubles in this world are manifold. Some reckon them like every wave of the sea. There's little waves and big waves, and they come crashing, pounding sometimes on the shore, particularly during a storm. In some ways, they're relentless. They just come and come. I mean, haven't you ever sat there as high tide is coming in? I just love to sit on the beach and soak up the sun and sniff all the salty air and then those waves start coming and coming, and it's high tide, and you've got to keep moving back, right? Sometimes that's what it feels like in this world with all the troubles and trials. They come like those waves, sometimes one after another. And if we're honest with ourselves, it's just possible that the waves help us to cause us to lose our focus on the Lord and on heaven. We get so caught up with the circumstances around us, and we forget that He's in control of the waves. He speaks over the waves. He knows every wave by name. And He can speak a word and make them go completely still. Now, even the best of believers realize, listen, earthly trials can easily obscure our heavenly perspective. And so that's why it's critical in this world that's filled with burdens that we understand how is it that we bear burdens, and not just our own, but how do we help our brothers and sisters to bear their burdens? You know, sometimes we don't just struggle, sometimes we stumble, right? We struggle with things in life, but sometimes every now and then someone stumbles in life. They sin. They get out of fellowship with the Lord. Or maybe they just strain under the toil of life. How do you live free if we've experienced grace? How do we live in such troubling times? How do we bear the burden, bear the weight, the burdens of life? I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, we're broken people. We're not complete in and of ourselves. That's why we cried out to the Lord. We need Him. And praise God, there's enough of Him for every single one of us tonight. Don't allow the burdens, if you're experiencing them this week, particularly in a heavy way, because they come in waves. If you're experiencing that right, don't allow them to divert your attention from the Lord in heaven, who's on His throne. Our duty, listen, even with our brothers and sisters who may be experiencing those hardships. I mean, you stop and think about those who lose loved ones, and for a season, it's very difficult for them to go through that. And we come alongside them and encourage them and help them to bear their burdens. Someone maybe staggers under the load. I mean, listen, it could be a parent raising kids, and sometimes they'll just help, man, they'll pull your hair out. You know what I'm saying? We come alongside them. We may help them steady their load that they're carrying. And if someone stumbles, then praise God, it's good to be there to help someone to pick them up. It's good to have a brother or sister. A brother, listen, a friend who's near when a brother's far away to help you. And that includes in the body of Christ, to have those around you that surround you and are there. If you see someone straining, what do? I don't know what you, we should help them with their burden. That's what this principle that Paul's going to give us tonight here in Galatians chapter 6 is all about. Now, understand that this instruction is contrary to what you'll find in the world. It's different than what the world says, because the world is so consumed with self and self-preservation and self-absorption that they'll do everything to preserve themselves and won't think about others. And so, sadly, this is where we should realize our opportunities to love those made in God's image. The church needs to embrace that opportunity. And again, I mean, I'm amazed just to see how quick the response was for God's people to the crisis in the West. I mean, what a testimony. Praise the Lord. I mean, it just really encourages my heart to realize not all is lost in America. So don't get too down and gloom. I mean, there's a lot that needs to be fixed in our nation. But man, there's hope. There is real hope. But you know what's amazing in our culture? Even though we are so close to one another, I mean, they're just packing them in, sandwiching people into these neighborhoods now, and we live so close, and yet the reality is people live more isolated than ever. I mean, they can be just, on a 0.13 acre lot next to another, a whole slew of them, right? And yet they don't even know their neighbors and don't even know to help when they're in burdens and having difficulties and hardships. It's sad because we become an impersonalized culture in so many ways. I don't know if it's social media and 140 characters or what it is, but for some reason, we just don't talk and communicate like we once did. I mean, people bore one another's burdens. They knew what their neighbors were going through, and they were there to help them. How many of us really know all our neighbors in our neighborhood? I mean, stop and think about that just for a minute. The people that live across the street from you, next door on the left and right. Sometimes it's important, even as a family. Sometimes, you know, it's good to take a note card and write those names down and pray for those neighbors in your neighborhood. Lift them up before the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, if there's an opportunity to help bear burdens for a witness for the gospel, Lord, give that to me. To pray intentionally for that, and you'll be surprised how the Lord will do that. The church needs to be distinct and different from the culture, and what this text is going to say is a way that we can do that. You know, the me first self-love culture is contrary to the one another commands that we find in Scripture. And this is one that talks about bearing one another's burdens. Hear the word of the Lord tonight, Galatians chapter 6. It's just five verses that are kind of all succinctly put together here. Brethren, now listen, sisters, that includes you too, all right? If a man is overcome in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Paul gives us a high priority, something that we should do. He had said actually earlier in chapter 5 in verse 14 that the whole law is fulfilled in just one word, even in this commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's interesting that he would summarize the whole law in that commandment. But when you stop and think about it, if we say we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and yet can't love the image of God right before us, is our love of God real? You see, loving those made in His image that are all around us bears witness that we love the God in whose image they're made. And Paul would say this so that when we see opportunity, we seize the opportunity to help others with their burdens. Why? Well, you see, it's the gospel. Jesus bore our burdens, amen? And because of that, that should inspire us and motivate us to want to help others with the burdens that they bear. Jesus freed us, redeemed us from our burdens, our spiritual burdens. Praise the Lord for that. But the burden of even keeping the law, He delivered us from that, Paul would emphasize earlier in this epistle. But what does it mean for you and I to be grace burden bearers? That's our responsibility as believers. Well, according to verse 1 and 2, we are to bear one another's burdens. If I understand the gospel, then I should enter into the burdens of others, even burdens brought on by their own sinfulness. You say, well, that's their problem. Have you heard this before? They made their bed, they ought to lie in it. We've said that before, right? But if someone has that burden or bears that burden, then we who believe the gospel and have experienced the gospel truth and been set free from that by grace from sin and the power of the gospel has changed us, then we stop and think about those who are carrying those burdens, and as believers, we engage. We help others bear their burdens. You remember the golden rule Jesus taught? I mean, we teach it to our children, I hope. Not he who has the gold rules, right? No. The gold, that's a rule too. But Jesus taught the golden rule, which is this. Do unto others as you would have them what? Do unto you. Don't wait for them to do to you as you want and then do to them. No. Do unto them as you want them to do to you. You see, that's the law of Christ. That's the law of Christ, not only that encourages to do unto them as we want them to do to us. The law of Christ also says, do unto them as Christ has done for you. That's what gospel is all about. We recognize, listen, that as we testify, when you're doing something for someone else, bearing their burden, they may say, why are you doing this? Why would you help someone like me? And it's really a great opportunity to say, well, you know what? There was one who did something for me. And because of what he's done for me, he has given me a reason to do something for you. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. He freely did it. And I find great joy in just showing you what he's like and sharing with you. When we do that, we're bearing others' burdens. Have you ever had to move? Isn't that a joy? I'm talking. You know, someone once said, you find out who your friends are when you move, right? You got all those boxes to load and all those boxes to unload off of the U-Haul or off the trailer when it comes. And, you know, stop and think about sometimes when you're loading and unloading those boxes, you know, we size them up sometimes. And then sometimes you get a hold of one, you're like, whoa, I've got to load here, right? And you're carrying, or they're carrying a 100-pound box, and you got that tiny little box. Right? You know what I'm talking about? What do you do in that moment? Well, hopefully you say, oh, this is easy. You set that one down. You go help them with the great big box, you know, because they're struggling under the weight of it. And in that moment when you set yours down for just a moment to help them carry theirs, that's the picture. What happens when two people, you know, carry a load of 100 pounds? Well, it's not so much that each one's carrying 50. The synergy of it actually makes them feel it's less than 50 pounds. And that's the picture here. What happens when multiple people help to carry the burdens and the loads of others? It makes it lighter on everyone. And that's our responsibility, to look at that and see those opportunities that the Lord may give us. How can I help others with their burdens? And sometimes it's intentional so we can share the gospel with them. Sometimes we don't really want to help others with their boxes though, right? Here, take my box for me. That's the world that we live in. And sometimes people don't want to help carry the load. They want to give without being burdened by it. But none of us has earned a burden-free life. You realize that. Christ has redeemed us. He's bought us. He's purchased us with his blood. We're not our own. We belong to him. And if I've experienced the gospel, as Paul's saying, this is what it should look like. If any man is overtaken by a trespass, a sin, then you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. The burden he talks about here is restoring those maybe who have stumbled, that they're overtaken by their sin. The weight that they're bearing is related to some of their choices, some of their decisions, their trespasses. You know what a trespass is, right? Trespassers cross boundaries that they shouldn't have gone across. That's what trespass means. And sometimes there's a boundary. God draws the boundary, and we cross over, and we shouldn't do that. And that's called sin. There's other types of sin. There's sins of trespassing. There's sins of rebellion against God. I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to be the Lord and call the shots. Or there's just the sin of omission, failing to do what we ought to do. This picture here, though, is a picture of someone who's overtaken by sin. Not so much just that they crossed a boundary that they shouldn't, but maybe they did something where it was unintentional. Not necessarily open rebellion against God. You know, rebelling, shaking their fists at him. But maybe they went across the boundary. They may not have even been aware about it. And so what happened? They're now under a load. What do? Well, if you're spiritual, you who are spiritual, what we do? We go in a spirit of gentleness and we consider ourselves so that we're not tempted, but we restore spiritually that one. It's kind of like if we were to go hiking up at Brushy Mountain, you know, in the mountains up there, or Stone Mountain, and we're walking up the trails, and it's an amazing thing to walk up there and get up on top. But sometimes as you're walking up some of those trails, man, there's like that loose gravel and loose dirt, and you can walk, and just as you're walking up the mountain, suddenly you just lose your footing, and your foot kind of goes out from underneath you, and you catch yourself, and you're like, ah, I twisted my ankle, and then you're like, well, what do I do now? Well, hopefully there's a hiker or someone there would come alongside you and say, hey, man, let me help you up. Let's get up, and let's let me help you bear the weight, and let's get up this mountain, or let's get down this mountain, right, so that we can get to a place where we can bandage this thing up. Realize, listen, we're all pilgrims. We're all on a journey together, right? We're spiritual pilgrims. It's what Peter would have said in 1 Peter when we read this morning. Now, where's the destination? Well, it's a narrow way, and it's upward, praise God. But there's a mountain, Mount Zion, that we're going to. Heavenly Jerusalem. Like all those who've gone before us, who walked by faith. They believed in the city whose builder was God. They marched towards that city. That's the direction that they were going. That's the direction we should be going. Now, the broad way usually leads down, right? That's to destruction. We don't want the broad way. We want the narrow way. You can go through the narrow gate. And sometimes it's winding up the hill. It's kind of hard. You know, anytime you walk uphill, it can be hard, right? At least I know that one. I do not like climbing up one particular way up Stone Mountain. I prefer a second way to get up to the top. Because it's a work. Because it's so steep. You know, donkeys know that. You know how you climb up steep places? You go sideways like this. Crisscross, crisscross to get up. They're smart creatures. We should be smart too. We should march together and go up together. But we walk that way. And as we do, if we see a brother or sister slip or fall under their burden, then we restore them in a spirit of gentleness. The grace that we've experienced, we want others to experience. And so we're very careful in that process, particularly if there's sin involved. And because we want to realize, listen, as we restore them, we want to take careful attention to ourselves because we don't want to be tempted and fall along with them. So we don't say, well, they fell, I'm going to stay away from that. If we love and know the love of Christ, then we come alongside him and say, listen, let me help you with that. Because we all stumble, James would say over in James 3:2, we all stumble in many ways, oftentimes with our tongues. They get us in trouble. But know this, when we're tempted, we don't want to be prideful about it and think, well, I've got this figured out. No, you're careful. There's no sin, there's no temptation that's not common to everyone, Paul would tell the Corinthians. Everyone is stretched in some way and tempted in some way. But those who are walking and not having any problem, we come alongside those and help them and restore those brothers and sisters. You know what's amazing? If you go over to the book of James, chapter 5, the last two verses are really amazing because it talks about restoring someone who has sinned, approaching someone who has sinned, and preserving them, saving them from a multitude of sins as a result of that loving confrontation or that loving coming alongside them and saying, hey, let's stop and consider what you're doing because it may not be a wise choice. And we should do that. And we can deliver them from many sins. By the way, that's interesting because he talks about Elijah, and it's an interesting parallel when you go over to 1 Kings and the story of Elijah and when he had to confront the prophets of Baal and the responsibility he had to confront a nation who was sinning against God, and how just that prophet with his confrontation helped turn a nation back from its wayward ways. And that's what we should do one person at a time. And that's the people that are around us. Some of them have stumbled. Some of them fall. They're struggling. They're stumbled. We need to help restore them because they've stumbled and they've fallen. But he also mentions a second burden. Those are just who struggled. We help bear one another's burdens. And as we do that, we fulfill the law of Christ. You see, this is an imperative. I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to bear our own burdens. We don't want to put them on others. if we've stumbled and fallen and we need help, then don't be so prideful that you don't want someone to help you. But everyone needs to own their own responsibility for their burdens and then share and help one another when they're in need. When others are struggling, we step in. We show compassion. We sacrifice for others because Christ sacrificed for us. But let us all own our own burdens and make sure that we're bearing what we're responsible for. To do that, we need the Spirit of God. Now, as we do that, we don't want to be conceited and say, well, I just got a little knapsack. I don't have a heavy burden. I've got burdens I'm bearing, but they're not that heavy. They're manageable at the moment by the power of the Lord and by His grace. And as I'm walking my journey, I realize I need Him and I'm depending on Him. But sometimes someone around us might have a quite big knapsack, a big old rucksack, as we would say in the army. Just weighed it down. And don't be proud and say, well, look at I don't have that much to worry about. I just got this little knapsack. Don't be conceited. Don't think you're someone when you're nothing, right? Don't deceive yourself, because you never know. You might be on the other foot sometime. And you might have reversed packs and not realize, I need someone to help me. Examine your own work and then rejoice. Rejoice in your lot and what's going on. Don't have pride or look over or down on anyone else, because we all have to bear our own load. You know, if we're going to fulfill the law of Christ and minister to one another, then I need to realize I own my burdens. I own them. I realize I'm responsible for them. But when I see someone overtaken with the weight of life, then I'm willing to step in and help them to bear their burdens. Now, listen, for that to happen, you have to be engaged and involved in church, right? You have to be engaged and involved with other people. Realize this. Listen, you're made in the image of God. We are made in His image, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons who are one, three persons who properly relate to one another in what's called love. And we as believers who are one person are called to relate to other persons around us in love as well. It's a reflection of the Godhead. Now, if I remove myself from involvement and engagement in any way in community and sharing in community, then I'll never be there to help bear another burden, to even be aware that someone may be overtaken by a burden. I won't be involved even to care that someone's overtaken by a burden. That's why when we gather together, we minister, we stir one another. Paul would say over in Hebrews chapter 10, listen, don't forsake the assembling of the brethren, as it is called for us to do. But listen to what it says. Let us draw near. This is Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, and for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and as much as you, and more as you see the day approaching. Paul says, listen, we need community. We need one another. We need to be there to exhort one another, encourage one another, help one another, minister to one another, to think about one another, to stir up love and good works in one another. And those good works, I think, are sometimes helping bear the load. This church that he was writing to, that he was exhorting to, they were suffering persecution. Some had lost their possessions. Some were in prison. And it was a thing to go visit them when they were incarcerated for the faith. It was dangerous. And yet they did that. They ministered to one another. And he says, listen, especially as we see the day approaching, I mean, if you believe Jesus is coming, even more so should we be engaged in the local body of believers so that we can stir one another up and encourage one another and help bear one another's burdens. You know, sometimes in order to help bear the load of someone else, we need to drop something off that we may be carrying. And so not all burdens are created equal, and maybe yours is something that's not so heavy that you have to carry, that you can help someone else with theirs even as you bear your own. We need to be mindful of that. and embrace that opportunity and look for it. If God's been gracious to me, then I'm certainly not going to look down on others and think, well, that's just too much for me. I can't help you. But no, if I've experienced the mercy and love of God, then I'm going to want to share with others and help them and bear those burdens. We bear our own burdens, as it says in verses 4 and 5, because we have to answer for them one day. We examine ourselves and make sure I'm carrying my load faithfully. And the picture he uses in verse 5 is just the idea of even just carrying a little backpack. Maybe a cinch sack, you know, something small. Not a great big load. We've all got those that we carry. Praise God for his grace that sustains us every step of the journey. But when you see someone under a load and they're stumbling or they're struggling, don't just pass by. I got mine. I hope you can deal with that. Praying for you. Jesus is going to help you. No. Step in and help them lift that load. And if a couple of us come alongside and do that, then what happens? Then that load becomes lighter for all parties. And the measure really that which we understand the gospel is shown by how we relate to people who are broken and hurting and struggling and in need. And it's the gospel that motivates us to do precisely that. I mean, if the Lord has saved us, then he saved us for good works, to do good things. And we should be zealous for that, not just because of what Paul said over in Hebrews 10, but he said it again over in Titus chapter 2, that the grace of God that brings salvation, it has appeared, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldliness and to live soberly, godly, and righteously, looking for the day of the Lord's appearing and being zealous for good works, looking for these opportunities where we can show the reality of the gospel in our own lives. It's not just waiting for that crisis opportunity, and there is one out west, and we're there, praise God. But it's also looking right around you and seeing season, engage in Sunday school classes and grow classes and ministry teams. Those are opportunities to be aware, be attentive. Sometimes it takes a discerning ear just to listen. Sometimes it takes patience for someone to give them a chance to share the burden they may be carrying. Now, let's not be prideful. Sometimes, listen, we think, I got it. I can handle it. In our pride, we think we can. The reality is we need to humble ourselves and say, no, Lord, I need you. And I need the body. That's why we're here, for one another. And that's what Paul would emphasize. Bear one another's burdens. You say, well, there's no struggle in my life right now. Well, that may just be for a season. That may just be one of these little waves coming in. It's low tide, though. Maybe the tide's going out and you're not being overwhelmed by a wave. But we all understand life. Hopefully we will live long enough and realize that wave will come. Amen. It will. And in those moments, it's good to be plugged in. And to know, man, just as the Lord poured out of me into someone's life when they were struggling, he can pour out of them into my life when I'm struggling. So cultivate those relationships now. Every one of us is dependent on God's grace, but he's graced this body so that we can grace one another and help bear those burdens. I want to invite you to pray with me tonight. And just pause for a moment and give thanks to the Lord for his grace that he has given us, not just in redeeming us, but the grace he gives us for the struggles we face. They may be financial, they may be relational, they may be in parenting, they may be in our relationships with our parents. It may be something to do with our vocation or some struggle with sin. But thank God right now first for the grace that gives us strength. And even in the midst of those struggles and trials and hardships and difficulties, just thank him right now. God, your grace is enough. And thank you that it's free, it's available to us at any time. And that, Lord, we can come to a throne of grace, even as Paul would say in this epistle, and we can ask of you, because we're needy and we need you. But be mindful of those around you as well, and ask the Lord just to give you a sensitivity maybe, an openness to hear when others are expressing a struggle, a challenge, and how we might be able to come alongside them. And, you know, sometimes just one finger lifting a load can make it lighter. Ask the Lord to help you to be mindful of that, where people may be, and how we can help them in those times. Lord, thank you that you looked and saw us under a great burden of sin. You sent your Son, you dispatched him to help take that load off of us. We praise you for that. Lord Jesus, that you died on that cross, bore our sin burden, the weight that we could not bear. And you took care of all of it. We praise you for that tonight. Father, help us to be mindful of others around us who may be under that similar weight or a different weight, Lord. And may we who have been delivered from our weights, Lord, and their burdens, may we come alongside them and help them in times such as this. Lord, I thank you that we can have that sensitivity, that awareness that your Spirit dwells within us and can help us to be discerning. So, Lord, I pray that we would yield to your Spirit and allow him to work in our lives and through our lives to minister to others in need. Lord, I'm grateful. You said, Jesus, that we should take your yoke upon us because that yoke and that burden is light. Lord, may we realize that. If we're struggling tonight, Lord, lift that load, we pray, and deliver us. And help us deliver those around us, I pray. I love you and praise you and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.